Man, Philip, thanks for sharing your slice with us this morning. Really appreciate that. Good morning. How you guys doing? You doing okay? Believe it or not, this is summer. Did you guys know that? This morning we're kicking off summer mode here at H2O. We have a school year mode and then summer mode. This is summer mode. For those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Dave Orweller. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O, and I am super excited to be here today because, like has been said already, we're not just kicking off summer mode, but we're kicking off a new sermon series called Pray Then Like This, where we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and I could not be more excited for us to do this as a church. I think it's going to be really good for us. Jesus taught his disciples this prayer on multiple occasions, both in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and also on a different occasion. We read about it in Luke 11. And in Luke 11, Jesus had just finished praying by himself, and the disciples saw him, and one of them asked him to teach them how to pray. And his response was this prayer. It's really just a model prayer for us to follow as we learn how to pray ourselves. And just as we begin this series and as we begin just this talk this morning, I thought it'd be great to have us just stand. I know you sat down. To have you stand together, and let's pray this prayer together just to kick us off. You guys with me? All right. This is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Is it up there? Okay, great. It says this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Awesome. All right, thanks, guys. You can have a seat. I know some of you are about to go on there. We tack a few more words onto the end of that most of the time when we say that together. It's actually not there, but they're good words. They're good words. All right. Well, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to walk through this prayer together. And as we do, we're going to see that it gives us seven different pictures of what our relationship with God is like. A father with his children. A God and his worshipers. A king and his subjects. A master and his servants. A benefactor and his beneficiaries. A savior and sinners. A guide and pilgrims on a journey. And even as we just say that, right, I think we can tell that there is so much meaning in each of those about who God is and who we are. I'm so excited for us. Today, though, we're going to begin at the top and look at God as our Father. But before we do, let's jump in and pray. God, thanks for today, and thank you for just this time that we can turn our attention and our hearts toward you and worshiping you, and for this sermon series as we look at the Lord's Prayer and try to see what we can learn from it. God, I pray that we would learn so much about who you are to us. And I pray for today especially that you would speak to us about who you are as a good dad to us and who we are as your kids. We pray that your spirit would speak freshly to us, to our hearts, and not just our heads this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. That's all we're going to look at, those four words. And as we begin, I think it's really good for us to just ask ourselves, why would God choose to reveal himself as a father? The word for father that Jesus probably used was an Aramaic word, Abba. And Abba is probably closest to our word dad or daddy. It's a personal and an intimate word. Every time Jesus prayed, except for one, he referred to God as father. And that one exception was done for a very specific reason that we're not going to get into this morning. So the question is, why would he do that? Well, he may have had lots of reasons, but I think one of the biggest ones is that dads are one of the most impactful, most shaping influences in our lives. Dads can shape their kids in profound ways. I'm convinced that some people live their whole adult lives as actually a big response to their dads. I was in this men's ministry years ago, and they showed this video, and it had just interview after interview of adult men talking about how their relationship with their dads has influenced them. And I thought that could be perfect for this morning. So we're going to watch that real quick, and then we'll continue. Man, how we've been impacted by our dads could vary a ton, obviously, right? We have all had different dads, and we've all had different experiences with our dad. But for better or worse, our dads, our experiences with them have shaped who we are. And I think probably a lot more than we realize. I think that gives us some insight into why Jesus would teach us to remember God as our dad when we pray. As a perfect dad to us, God wants to shape our hearts and our lives. So the question for us that I want to talk about this morning is, what does it mean for us to have God as a perfect dad to us? And I want to just give you four implications. And before I do that, there's a lot more than four. I'm just picking a few. But I think these are really meaningful. You ready for those? All right. The first one is this. God knows his kids. David wrote a psalm all about this in Psalm 139. It says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask all the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. And that psalm goes on. We're going to end there this morning. The point from all of that is it is not possible for God to know us any better than he already does. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We saw in that beautiful poem, some of the reasons why, right? He made us. He's always with us. He always sees us. He always knows what we're thinking. He always knows what we're feeling. He always knows what's on our hearts. If you're a child of God, your dad sees you and knows you deeply. Isn't that a deep longing for every kid? For their dad to see them and know them? I've got a team of little kids running around my house right now, and they're at a stage where they're learning something new pretty much every day. And what is the first thing they do when they learn something? They say, Dad, look. Dad, watch. Sometimes they do it so much, I'm like, what? They just want my attention. They want me to see them. We long for our dad to see us and know us, and our Heavenly Father does perfectly. Second thing is this, God loves his kids. And I know, you know, before you check out completely, having heard that a million times, just stick with me for a minute, okay? This is not meant to be information for us to think about, but a profound reality that shapes our hearts. In Ephesians 1, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. God doesn't have to love us. He's not begrudgingly loving us, as if that was even possible to begrudgingly love someone. He didn't get stuck in a bad contract that he's waiting to get out of. Every child of God is blessed and chosen and adopted in spite of our faults and failures. Have you ever heard this about a dad's love? Well, he has to love me, he's my dad, or he has to love them, he's their dad. We say that, sometimes we accept it. That's not true. And it's obviously not true for anyone, anywhere, who's ever adopted a child, right? They didn't have to do that. They got to do that. They wanted to do that. I wonder if this is how we see God's heart toward us. It makes a world of difference, right? God's not just okay with us being his kids. He could not be any more passionate about us. He moved heaven and earth to come get you and bring you home to his family. I know we talk about God's love for us so much that it can just become bland and matter of fact, something we know, but not something we're really experiencing in our hearts as we live our lives. I want you to just listen to these verses or read them as I read along, and just what do they show us about God's heart for us as his kids? In Zephaniah 3, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." In 1 John 3, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Guys, I don't know if my kids have provided me with anything that I find helpful or productive yet in their lives. And that might be an exaggeration, but, you know, just a little bit. But I've been changing their poopy diapers for years. I've started to wonder, how long is this going to go? Man. And since we're using cloth diapers, I also get to wash them out. I spray them out every night. It's like a daily poop party in my house. Every day I'm like, why do we do this? Oh, why do we do this? I say that not to share something gross and get a laugh, but because that has not changed one bit how I feel about my kids. I love and delight in them. It goes even further than that, right? Sometimes when you're in a rush, you're changing your kid, you're trying to get in there quick and wipe and go, and one time the wipe slid a little bit, and I just went with my hand. And okay, it's not funny. But I laughed when it happened. I can't explain to you why I laughed. I think it was this. I knew how disgusting and gross that was, and I still was realizing, I love this. I love this. I delight in my kids, even when it means wiping my hand in their poop. It's crazy. If we could only see God's love and delight for us that way, right? It would change our lives. Third, God helps his kids. In Matthew 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" God's a good dad who gives us good gifts. He helps us. How does he help us, you ask? Thanks, I'm going to tell you. Buckle up, though. It's a list. I'm going to give you a big list. He provides for us. In 2 Peter 1, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." So let's start the list by saying he's provided us everything we need. He protects us. In John 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice," this is Jesus, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Talk about ultimate protection, right? He gives us the Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways. Seriously, it should be just a separate sermon series that we do. He lives in us. He comforts us. He leads us. He helps us understand the Bible. He convicts us of our sins. He gives us power to overcome sin in our lives and live a life that pleases God. He intercedes for us. He reassures us. He gives us spiritual gifts. The list goes on and on. Any child of God who claims that God isn't helping me right now does not know very much about the Holy Spirit that's living inside of them. Last thing I want to point out is a way that he helps us. He helps us by disciplining us. Proverbs 3 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son whom he delights." Listen, by discipline, I don't mean punishment. God doesn't punish his kids. Jesus paid all the punishment there ever was and ever will be. So what I mean by discipline is teaching and instructing and correcting and training and modeling and reproving and enforcing healthy and safe boundaries, all the whole host of other activities that good dads do because they love their kids and they want them to be safe and to grow up and to mature into healthy adults. God wants us not to just know what is right and true and good, but to obey him and live what is right and true and good. And maybe even more than that, to love what is right and true and good from deep within our hearts. So he disciplines us to bring about that fruit in our lives because he loves us. Fourth, God forgives his kids. Kids make mistakes, right? Any parent out there can agree. They can be ignorant and foolish and selfish and rebellious and sometimes all of the above at the exact same time. And any dad knows that to have a tight relationship with his kids, he's going to have to forgive them over and over. And not just say he forgives them, but really forgive them, release them for the things they've done to hurt him. God forgives his kids. And again, you're like, yeah, I've heard that. We got to let it change our hearts, not just our minds, right? God isn't stuck in a deal where he has to forgive you. He's not looking for a way out of it. Listen to his heart toward us in these verses. Psalm 103 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your father is merciful." Full of mercy. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." God is full of compassion toward us, full of mercy. He's lavished us in his grace, in his love. He doesn't sit back when we wander off. He runs after us and restores us. So many more implications of God being a perfect dad to us, but even from those four, don't we see a picture of his heart for us? God knows us, but he doesn't have to know us. He wants to know us. He loves knowing us. He loves watching us. We always have his attention. He loves us, and he doesn't have to love us. He wants to love us. He delights in us. He helps us. He doesn't have to help us. He wants to help us. He's ready to help us. He's waiting to help us. He runs after us to help us. He forgives us, and he doesn't have to. He wants to. The question is that what you really believe about your father's heart toward you? Before we wrap up this morning, I just want us to imagine together for a minute, what kind of an impact does that have on us as his kids to have a perfect dad? I want to give you four more things, all right? First, having a perfect dad means we have assurance that we're seen and known. No matter what chaos is happening around us or inside of us, we can be absolutely sure that our dad sees and knows and understands fully. That brings us great comfort, great peace. It's a deep craving we have. It absolutely is for me. I know I'm not an old man, but already I've seen as the years go by, and I look to other people to see me and know me and understand me. Even the people that know me the best and do that so well, they still don't quite get me. There's still times where I'm like, you could not understand a thing that I'm thinking or feeling right now. And that has made this reality more and more precious every year that goes by. I love how David put it in that psalm, how precious are your thoughts about me, oh God. You know me so well. We have a dad who sees and knows. And I'm sure that's really comforting and brings us peace for a lot of us, but I bet for some of the rest of us, it also brings fear, right? Like if anybody actually sees me, then I'm in trouble because there's no way they'll ever love or accept me. I want to be seen and known, but I also want to be loved and accepted, and for me, there's no way those two can go together. For some reason, we're convinced of that. This is the beauty of our Heavenly Father. He sees and knows everything, but even still, he loves us so completely and perfectly and passionately. That leads us to the second. Having a perfect dad means we're free to just sit in and soak up God's love. We don't have anything to hide from God as if we could or from anybody else. We are loved. We don't have anything to prove. We don't have to strive to earn God's love or stay in his good graces. That's where we live. That's where we stand. We're always in and surrounded by God's unconditional and unfailing love and passion for us. His love is our context. So we can just stop and sit and soak it in. Do you do that? It's not normal for our culture, is it? Not at all. We're always running. We're always doing, always trying to produce or please people or earn love or admiration or respect or blah, 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 blah. We need to just chill. I do this with my kids. All the time, they'll be playing or working or something. They're always doing something, busy doing something. I find myself just wanting them to just come over and let me hug them and kiss them and tell them I love them. So sometimes I ask them, I say, hey, can I just give you a hug for a minute? And sometimes they're up for it, and sometimes they don't want to stop whatever it is they're doing. And I understand that. It's not all on my timing. But I wonder how often that's God's heart toward us. Sometimes I just picture God right there saying, son, what are you doing? Just stop and come here and let me hold you. Delight in you. Just soak it in for a minute. Then you can go back and do your really important work. It will change our lives if we really understand that we're fully known and fully loved by our Heavenly Father. Having a perfect dad means we're never alone. We're not alone to solve our problems. Our dad is watching out for us. He's providing for us, protecting us. I love the Sermon on the Mount before and after this prayer. It's repeated over and over. He sees, he knows. He knows what you need even before you ask him. The other day while I was gone at a conference, Alyssa took our three kids to the park because she's a little bit crazy and really fearless, okay? It's chaos. And at one point, Jake got separated from her and the rest of the kids because I'm sure there was some sort of chaos happening and he was running around. and he didn't know where they were, and it was only a couple minutes. But by the time Alyssa found him, he was freaking out. Like, he was terrified. He thought he was lost by, you know, all on his own. That's us all the time, isn't it? We think we're big and tough until we find ourselves in a scary situation and we think, I'm all alone. We don't need to feel terrified. We are never alone. He's right there helping us along the way. Fourth, having a perfect dad means we have nothing to fear. The Bible speaks to this so much. It's crazy, and I'm glad it does, because I'm so prone to fear in my life. It's my default response to, like, everything. Dave, we're going to throw you a surprise party. Ah, no. I don't know why. Just listen to these verses as I read them. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I've had a lot of times in life where I've felt like that was a great description of my life. Everything is crazy here. It's brought me great peace to know God is with me. I have no need to fear. The 1 John 4 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In Romans 8, it says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, Dad. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We could go on and on and on. Our dad knows us. He loves us. He helps us. He forgives us. What do we have left to fear? This is really meaningful to me as a fearful person. These are verses that I've meditated on and memorized and come back to over and over again. This is the truth that will squash those fears. We have a dad in heaven who's with us and for us and powerful. We have no need to fear. We can just hold his hand. This happens with our kids. We noticed pretty early on, Jake didn't seem to have that natural fear that you sort of hope your kids have when it comes to dangerous situations. And so we really worked on, like, instilling some healthy fear in him around moving cars in particular. And I think it's paid off, or he's just older and understands, but he's got some of that. And so now, what do I do when we park our car at the grocery store? I say, Jake, stop, wait. I'm going to come around, and I'm going to hold your hand, and we're going to walk into the store. And so I do that. I hold his hand, and we start walking, and I look for danger. And then I'm like, look over there. You got to look over, see that car that's moving? Let's wait. And I'm teaching him how to look for danger because I want him to learn. But he has one thing to do. Trust me, hold my hand, and he's fine. We could go on and on and on, but we don't have time. So what's our takeaway from this? I just want to give you a couple things. First is this, we spent a lot of time just talking about God's heart for us. And I want us to just really sit and think, is that really how I see God toward me? Don't we twist that to somehow think, oh, he has to, he's my dad, or he got locked in a long time ago. It's not true for me. Why is that going on? Maybe we need to dig into what the Bible says about God's heart toward us, or maybe we need to pray and ask the Helper to help us really believe that those things are true in our hearts. Second thing is this. I hope you got this by now. We're the kids, right? We're just a kid. We're the ones who don't know. We're the ones who can't see. We're the ones who make foolish decisions. We're the ones who purposefully make dumb decisions. I wonder if you've embraced that you're just a kid. You'll always be just a kid. We take our lives and our work so seriously, right? We think we're independent and self-sufficient. There's a fundamental reality being communicated to us in this that we have to embrace. I am just a kid. Have you embraced that? Have you felt how freeing that is? It's so freeing. It's also humbling, right? How many times do we get all angry at God and we shake our fists at him because he's not helping us in the exact way we want, at the exact time we want, or the way we think would be best? It's a lot, right? It's a lot for me. One of the surprising things about being a dad that I've learned, they think I'm a jerk like 80% of the time. I'm like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Sometimes we let ourselves go way down that road, right? We question God altogether when things are so hard. And I'm not minimizing how hard things are. They can be so horrible. But we let those things push us to question his heart for us. Is he even real? Is he good? Does he see? Does he care? Why won't he help me? And when we're in that place, we have to come back to this reality too. We're just a little kid. We don't know what's best. We don't know what God's doing, and we don't know why he's doing it. But what do we do know? The one thing we do know, we have a good dad that we can trust. Finally, I think this reality that God's a perfect dad for us is something we need to remember and let drive us to him again and again and again. To ask, to seek, to knock. We have a dad who responds to his kids. I hope we'll let this push us to take some time to think about our Heavenly Father this week and just cherish him. What an unbelievable blessing to our lives. Let's pray. God, thanks for today, and thanks for just this reminder to us that you are a perfect dad, regardless of the example dad we had or didn't have in our lives. God, you are a perfect dad to us. Pray you let that reality just go so far beyond our heads and sink down into our hearts that it shape everything we do. Everything we encounter in our lives would be shaped by the reality that we are just your kid and you are a perfect present dad to us. Pray this in your name. Amen.